Basic information. Reading time, about 14 minutes. Word count, about 5,760 characters. Summary, by using a three-layer redundancy plan, the availability triangle framework, and a downtime cost calculation, this article turns the internet during your travels from something you leave to chance into a redundant piece of infrastructure, so you can stay reliably online from any corner of the world. Full-length audio. Chinese. 1. The starting point, a product manager racing a deadline on a train. This past February, on the night train from Chiang Mai to Bangkok, I met Fei Li, a product manager. She is 34, from Wuhan, Hubei, and was using her phone's hotspot to revise a proposal that was due the next day. I thought the train would have Wi-Fi, but there was only one signal bar, and I almost missed the deadline, she said with a wry smile. Fei Li's predicament is far from unique. Among the remote workers I know, at least 70% have experienced that darkest moment of needing to be online but having no connection. The premise of geographic freedom is that you can connect anytime, connect stably, and connect securely. After that incident, she began treating the internet like luggage, something to take seriously. In her everyday bag, she now always carries three things: a local SIM, a portable Wi-Fi device, and a phone that can serve as a hotspot. The internet is my desk. If the desk is unstable, the work won't get done well, she said. Fei Li did the math. Because one outage caused her to miss a delivery, she paid the client about 2,000 renminbi in penalty fees and also lost two follow-up orders. From then on, her budget for connectivity went from save wherever possible to never skimp. What truly frees your work from any single location is not how beautiful a place you travel to, but the fact that you can get online reliably no matter where you are. 2. The misconception, three scenarios where relying only on a phone hotspot fails. The first scenario is cross-city transit. On trains, buses, and ferry signals are erratic, and phone hotspots cut in and out. Fei Li said that on that night train, her hotspot dropped on average once per minute, and sending the proposal took 40 minutes. The second scenario is sharing with many people. Cafe public Wi-Fi gets congested in peak season, and uploading large files often stalls at 90%. She has seen someone use mobile data on the spot as a rescue, only to burn through 5 gigabytes in a single day. The third scenario is borders and remote areas. Some countries temporarily cut connectivity within 10 kilometers of a border, and mountainous regions and islands are even worse. Relying on a single card means you go dark the moment you reach such places. Making the phone hotspot your main connection is, at its core, using the least stable method to carry the most important task. Fei Li said, the hotspot should be a spare tire, not the engine. Figure out first how much one outage costs you, then decide whether your network needs redundancy. Don't wait until you have paid the price to understand. 3. The framework, a three-layer redundancy plan for your travel network. The plan I gave Fei Li is the three-layer redundancy plan. The first layer is a local SIM or eSIM, providing basic data. The second layer is a portable Wi-Fi device or a second SIM card, serving as a hotspot backup. The third layer is satellite or local broadband, to handle extreme no-signal situations. The three layers back each other up, so if any single layer fails, you still have a connection. The first layer is the daily workhorse. When she arrives in Thailand, she buys a local SIM with 50 gigabytes of monthly data for about 90 renminbi, roughly 80% cheaper than international roaming. The second layer guards against single points of failure. She carries a portable Wi-Fi device loaded with a second carrier's SIM. The two carriers use different cell towers, so when one has no signal, the other usually does. A second SIM isn't waste, it's buying insurance, she said. The third layer is activated only for special trips. Before going to an island or a border area, she rents a satellite terminal for about 120 renminbi per day, trading money for never losing connection. The value of three-layer redundancy is not that it makes you spend more, but that it turns the risk of disconnection from fatal into negligible. 4. Comparison, international roaming, local SIM, eSIM, and travel routers. International roaming is the most convenient but the most expensive, with daily fees typically 30 to 60 renminbi and frequent speed throttling. A local SIM is cheap but needs a physical SIM slot and registration. An eSIM requires no physical card and can be bought before you land, suiting multi-country hops. A travel router can be shared with a laptop and multiple devices, suiting small teams. Feili ran a comparison. Hopping three countries in 1 month, pure roaming cost about 900 renminbi. Three local SIMs totaled about 270 renminbi, and a three-country eSIM plan about 300 renminbi. The gap is obvious. A common misjudgment is assuming eSIM is always cheapest. In some countries, physical SIMs come with local subsidized prices and end up cheaper. She recommends checking a comparison site before departure rather than assuming. Combine all four rather than picking one. She uses eSIM as primary, local SIM as backup, and a travel router for sharing, covering nearly every scenario. When choosing, look at two things: how many countries you will hop and how many devices need to connect. Don't force one form to carry everything. 5. Professional analysis: the cost curve of bandwidth, latency, and availability. We can compare plans using an availability triangle framework. Its three vertices are bandwidth, how fast you can transfer, latency, how fast the response is, and availability, how low the chance of disconnection is. Most cheap plans are weakest on availability. Expensive plans balance all three better. Compare two types: A, a single SIM from a single carrier, costs about 90 renminbi per month, with availability around 92%, estimated from urban coverage, source type carrier coverage disclosures, averaging about 2.4 days of outage per month. B, dual SIM redundancy, costs about 180 renminbi per month, with availability around 99.2%, averaging about 0.2 days of outage per month. A quantifiable metric is cost per outage hour. If your hourly output is about 100 renminbi, Plan A's monthly risk exposure is about 2.4 times 24 times 100, roughly 5,760 renminbi. While Plan B's is about 0.2 times 24 times 100, roughly 480 renminbi. The extra 90 renminbi spent on redundancy buys about 5,280 renminbi of reduced risk. Real-world support: a connectivity retrospective covering about 600 remote workers, sample size in the hundreds to low thousands, source type community public survey, showed that those using dual SIM redundancy missed deliveries due to outages about 71% less often than single SIM users. Redundancy correlates strongly with stability. Execution checklist: first, estimate your hourly output. Second, check the destination carrier's coverage. Third, use two different networks for primary and backup. Fourth, test actual speed once. Fifth, add a satellite layer for remote trips. 6. Checklist: 8 pre-departure device checks. Feili breaks pre-departure network checks into 8 items. First, is your phone unlocked so it can take multiple SIMs? Second, is the eSIM purchased and activated in advance? Third, is the portable Wi-Fi charged? Fourth, did you bring the SIM eject tool and adapters? Fifth, is a data monitoring app installed? Sixth, do your important accounts have two-step verification enabled? Seventh, is cloud sync set to automatic? Eighth, is an emergency hotspot number saved? She stresses that item 1 is the easiest to miss. A locked phone can't take a local SIM, and you only discover it after landing, when it is too late to help. She recommends checking the network lock status via about this phone before departure. Item 6 concerns security. Without two-step verification on public Wi-Fi, accounts are easily hijacked. All her work accounts have verification enabled, and she logs in only over a private hotspot. Item 7 is the safety net. When the connection drops, a local cache exists. Once the network returns, it syncs automatically. Her drafts are never left exposed locally. The cloud always holds a copy. A good checklist is what keeps you from going crazy over the network on your very first day on the ground. 7. Case study: she finished a live stream at the edge of the Sahara using a satellite terminal. Xiao Man, a video creator, is 28, from Xi'an, Shaanxi. Last year, she did an outdoor live stream at the edge of the Sahara in Morocco. There was zero phone signal there, and she relied on a rented satellite terminal to transmit the footage. That live stream ran 2 hours, cost about 150 renminbi in data, drew about 3,000 viewers, and earned about 4,000 renminbi in affiliate commissions. Without the satellite, the whole thing would have fallen through, she said. Xiao Man's redundancy setup is phone eSIM as primary, local SIM as backup, satellite terminal as the rescue. When all three layers lose signal, the satellite is the backstop. I only use the satellite when all three layers are gone. It is expensive, but it saves lives, she said. She also warns, satellites are heavily affected by weather and obstruction, great in open desert, poor in forests. Before departure, she checked the destination's terrain and only took the live stream job after confirming it was open. Xiao Man's story shows, network redundancy is not paranoia. It is what lets you take on jobs you previously would not dare to. 8. Pitfalls, data compliance, SIM locks, and border outages. The first pitfall is data compliance. Some countries restrict cross-border data flows, don't transmit sensitive work in plain text over public networks. All of Fei Li's transfers go through encryption. On public Wi-Fi, she only browses, never sends drafts. The second pitfall is the SIM lock. A locked phone can't take a local SIM, and you only find out after landing, when it is too late. She recommends checking the network lock before departure and, if necessary, carrying a spare unlocked phone. The third pitfall is border outages. Some countries temporarily control signals at borders. Don't schedule important meetings there. She arranges border crossings at night to avoid work hours. There is also a hidden pitfall, data overage. International plan overage charges are brutal, so she uses a monitoring app to set a daily cap and auto-switch to the backup SIM when exceeded. Pitfalls aren't there to scare you. They are a reminder to treat the network as infrastructure and maintain it by the rules. 9. Action. Set up a two-device hot standby tonight. You can do three things tonight. First, check whether your phone is unlocked and can take a second SIM. Second, buy an eSIM covering your destination and activate it for a test connection. Third, charge the portable Wi-Fi and stuff it into your everyday bag. Fei Li recommends setting the hotspot to auto-switch. When the primary SIM signal is weak, the phone automatically uses the backup SIM. That switch has saved me 3 times, she said. One more action. Bind your work account's two-step verification to an app that can receive codes offline, not to SMS. Border SMS often does not arrive. Finally, tonight send a 200 megabytes file over the backup SIM to test the speed, confirming that the redundancy actually works rather than being a decoration. Hot standby isn't a complex project. In 2 hours tonight, you can build a set from scratch. 10. Scenarios, long stay and short island hopping need different network strategies. Networks come in tiers too. Fei Li divides trips into 3 tiers. A 2-week island hop uses a 3-country eSIM plan, about 300 renminbi. A 3-to-6-month stay gets a local SIM plus broadband, about 120 renminbi per month. A stay beyond half a year pulls a local fiber line, about 150 renminbi per month and stable. The core of short island hopping is switchability. She picks a daily build eSIM to avoid buying a full year for only 2 weeks of use. The core of long stays is a fixed entry point. In both Chiang Mai and Lisbon, she pulled fiber, home Wi-Fi, phone out the door, tiering to save data. A counterintuitive finding, the longer you stay, the cheaper data gets per unit. Long stay fiber often costs less than a tenth of roaming per GB. Fei Li calculated that choosing fiber over monthly roaming for a long stay saves about 85%. So before departure, answer first, this time, island hop, stay, or long reside. The answer decides the primary form of your network. 11. Rhythm, a monthly network checkup. Fei Li does a network checkup every month. Has the primary SIM speed dropped? Is the backup SIM still reachable? Is the data monitor accurate? Is two-step verification working? She says it is like servicing a car. The first checkup question is availability. If monthly outage exceeds 1 day, Your single point is too fragile and you should add a layer of redundancy. She logs every outage on a calendar and reviews the trend at month's end. The second question is cost. If roaming fees exceed budget, it is time to switch to a local plan. Last year, through monthly checkups, she brought her average monthly network spend from about 400 renminbi down to about 150 renminbi. The third question is security. Have you ever transmitted anything in the clear over public Wi-Fi? She requires herself to do any sensitive operation only over a private hotspot or an encrypted channel. The network isn't a buy once and done. It is monthly maintenance that keeps it steadily in your backpack. 12. Types: different jobs demand different networks. Feili grades remote work by network sensitivity into three tiers. Tier 1 is text and light collaboration, such as writing and replying to email, where 5 megabits per second down is enough and latency doesn't matter much. Tier 2 is video meetings and cloud development, needing above 15 megabits per second and latency below 80 milliseconds, or stuttering is obvious. Tier 3 is live streaming and large data transfer, needing above 30 megabits per second and stable upload. She herself is a product manager who often runs video meetings, placing her in Tier 2. Once, in a cafe using public Wi-Fi for a meeting, latency spiked to 300 milliseconds and the other side said she sounded like she was on the moon. After that, I only use a private hotspot for meetings, she said. Xiao Man does live streams, Tier 3, with the highest demand on upload. At that Sahara session, satellite upload was about 4 megabits per second, just enough for 720p, any higher and it got blurry. Before departure, she dropped the quality from 1080p to 720p to hold steady. A practical principle: provision your network for the tier of your most frequent work, not the minimum. Feili says, if 80% of your time is in meetings, pay for the meeting tier. Don't save money on the web browsing tier. Know which tier you are first, then choose a plan. Only then will your network budget not be spent in the wrong place. 13. Tools: automate network monitoring and security. Feili automates network maintenance as much as possible. First, a data monitoring app that sets a daily cap, pops up when exceeded, and auto-switches to the backup SIM. Second, scheduled speed tests, once each morning, noon, and night, alerting on slowdown. Second is security automation. She wraps all transfers in an encrypted channel so she is never exposed even on public Wi-Fi. Two-step verification uniformly goes through an app that receives codes offline, so boarders don't scare her about missing SMS. Third is sync automation. The laptop is set to sync on power, caching locally when offline and auto-uploading when the network returns. Her drafts are never exposed locally, the cloud always holds a copy. She calculated, this automation saves her about 20 minutes a day of manual checking, about 120 hours a year, enough to finish half a book. Automation buys attention, not convenience, she said. Hand monitoring and security to the tools, and you free your mind for the real work instead of staring at signal bars every day. 14. Backup beyond signal, when the network also fails. Chen Yu was riding on a small Indonesian island when satellite signal suddenly vanished for 36 hours. Relying on pre-downloaded offline maps and a spare local SIM, she still finished that week's delivery. She says, the first principle of travel networking is to always have a second plan. She always keeps a foreign location eSIM on hand, as cheap as 9 renminbi a month, yet able to sustain the lifeline when the primary SIM fails. She organized 3 scenario backstops: cities use a local data SIM, the countryside uses portable Wi-Fi, and extreme cases use offline-first tools. The key is to break connectivity out of single dependency into 3 layers, so that no single layer's failure means losing contact. Her data shows dual SIM dual standby cost her 19 fewer work hours lost last year. Another easily overlooked point is device redundancy. When one laptop breaks, work stops. She now syncs core files to 2 clouds in real time and keeps a lightweight tablet in her bag as an emergency terminal. Next step, before departure, prepare a foreign location eSIM for the next leg, and manually sync today's work files to a second cloud. FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions. 1. Question: Is a phone hotspot enough, or do I really need to buy equipment? A. A hotspot is fine for occasional use, but for primary work it is best to add one backup layer. Fayley recommends at least dual SIM. Next step, tonight, check whether your phone can take a second SIM and buy an eSIM covering your destination. 2. Question: Which is more cost-effective, eSIM or local SIM? A. For multi-country hops, eSIM is convenient. For a single-country long stay, local SIM often has a subsidized price and is cheaper. Next step, before departure, use a comparison site to see the actual monthly cost of both countries' plans before deciding. 3. Question: What do I do in places with extremely poor signal? A. Add a satellite layer as a backstop, but mind the weather and obstruction effects. Next step, if you are going to an island or border, rent a satellite terminal before departure and test the connection on site once. 4. Question: Is public Wi-Fi safe, and how do I protect myself? A. Don't transmit sensitive data in plain text over public networks. Enable two-step verification and use encryption. Next step, tonight, bind your work account's verification to an app that receives codes offline and log in over a private hotspot. 5. Question: My data always goes over the limit. What do I do? A. Use a monitoring app to set a daily cap and auto-switch to the backup SIM when exceeded. Next step, tonight, install a data monitoring tool and set a daily limit on the primary SIM. 6. Question: How do multiple devices connect together? A. Use a portable Wi-Fi or phone hotspot to share, letting multiple devices go through one entry point. Next step, if you carry a laptop plus a phone, keep a portable router handy to avoid the phone overheating and draining fast. This article is for information sharing and financial literacy education. It does not constitute any securities, futures, or investment advisory recommendation, nor personalized investment advice. Markets carry risk. Decisions require caution. This article was generated by AI and final reviewed by a human editor. Image credits, figure 1 Yanyunyi / Pixabay, CC0, figure 2 Jeshitscom / Pixabay, CC0, figure 3 Wikimedia Images / Pixabay, CC0, figure 4 StevUp / Pixabay, CC0, figure 5 Piro4D / Pixabay, CC0, figure 6 Piro4D / Pixabay, CC0, figure 7 Piro4D / Pixabay, CC0, figure 8 MasterTux / Pixabay, CC0, figure 9 Coco Parisian / Pixabay, CC0, figure 10 Rusmac / Pixabay, CC0, figure 11 Yamabon / Pixabay, CC0, figure 12 SIPA / Pixabay, CC0, figure 13 Giovanni RSB / Pixabay, CC0, figure 14 Fuangvenkian / Pixabay, CC0, figure 15 Pexels / Pixabay, CC0, figure 16 Temequaleki / Pixabay, CC0, figure 17 Stux / Pixabay, CC0, figure 18 Jarmalux / Pixabay, CC0, figure 19 Geralt / Pixabay, CC0, figure 20 Cost 9N4 / Pixabay, CC0, figure 21 51581 / Pixabay, CC0, figure 22 Totem Revolutum / Pixabay, CC0, figure 23 J_Low / Pixabay, CC0, figure 24 Getza Graphics / Pixabay, CC0, figure 25 StockSnap / Pixabay, CC0, figure 26 Fiat's Photos / Pixabay, CC0, figure 27 Geralt / Pixabay, CC0, figure 28 Koiwati / Pixabay, CC0, figure 29 Giovanni RSB / Pixabay, CC0, figure 30 Fuangvenkian / Pixabay, CC0, figure 31 Pexels / Pixabay, CC0, figure 32 Temequaleki / Pixabay, CC0, figure 33 BT_Real / Pixabay, CC0, figure 34 Roby 0059 / Pixabay, CC0, Figure 35 Analogicus slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 36 Barwick slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 37 Piero 4D slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 38 Grand slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 39 Carl Scruna slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 40 Jusman slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 41 Roymuller slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 42 Kranich 17 slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 43 Sacent slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 44 Antonio underscore Cancino slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 45 Designer Point slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 46 Jennings slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 47 Couleur slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 48 Jill Wellington slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 49 Blick Pixel slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 50 Pexels slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 51 Hunter slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 52 Ryan McGuire slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 53 Paul Stuber slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 54 Pexels slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 55 Alberto Adon slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 56 Virami slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 57 Mira Kozik slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 58 Dimho slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 59 Mira Kozik slash Pixabay, CC0, Figure 60 Focus Onk slash Pixabay, CC0.